This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We're going to spend a lot of time here in this 5 o'clock segment talking a little bit of Royals baseball. John Sherman met with the media. I told Rob to make a best of cut from John Sherman. So if you missed his press conference, we have cut out a majority of the fluff. And we are going to give you the news of John Sherman's press conference coming up in just a bit. We're also going to get you ready for opening day. I will be out there tomorrow. I imagine many of you will also be out there tomorrow. It is a sellout for tomorrow's game against the Guardians. I'm really excited about the return of baseball in Kansas City, and I imagine that many of you are excited as well. So I wrote down four questions that I have for the Royals coming into the season. Obviously, more questions will emerge. We will get some of these questions answered. New questions will pop up. But this is where I sit as we are 22 hours away from first pitch of the season. The biggest question that I have on this team is, can Seth Lugo do it again? Now, you know that this is a show that preaches sample size. And what does the back of your football card say or baseball card say? That is normally an indication of the kind of player that you are. Seth Lugo has never shown the ability that he had last season. He was legitimately one of the best pitchers in the American League. His high on innings pitched coming into last season was 146. He pitched 200 innings last year. And the fact that the Royals got 33 starts and 200-plus innings from Seth Lugo was a major reason of why they made the postseason. You had a 1-2 combination that matched up against anybody. For those of you that have been watching Royals baseball for a long time, you know that this next statement is what usually happens. The Royals sometimes tread water in the first 15, 20 days of the season. Usually they hit a rough patch and their pitching is never where it needs to be. And the 1-2-3 game losing streak, next thing you know, you'll blink your eyes, you'll go on vacation, your kid will graduate, you'll look up and you'll check back into the Royals and that team that was 11-11, well, now they're 12-21, and their pitching has completely fallen apart, and now baseball season is over. Last season, they never got in that situation because their pitching was always good. I think that Cole Reagans is one of the best pitchers in the American League. I think he is one of the best pitchers in baseball, period. He is your opening day starter. He is your number one. You feel good about Cole Reagans going up against any starter in baseball. You feel good with him going up against any lineup in baseball. If Lugo continues to be that two and continues to be that 1B, that B side, and now you got Waka as your number three, you got Michael Lorenzen, you've got Chris Bubich, you have a rotation that will get you through some of the rough patches that always pop up in a baseball season. You're going to have a stretch where Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting 140 for the week, and you're going to need to make it up in other areas. You usually can do that if every day you feel good about your rotation and you feel like you're putting a quality starter on the mound. A lot of that hinges to me on Seth Lugo. Seth Lugo's career high in wins was 8. He doubled it last season with 16. His career low for ERA was 3.5. It was 3 last year. 26 starts. He gave you 33 last year. Seth Lugo has never given a team that level of production. Can he do that again? That's the biggest question that I think the Royals have coming into this season. I think number two is, let's say that your stars are still your stars. Lugo's still good. Reagans is still good. Bobby Witt's still up for American League MVP. Let's say the guys that you are counting on are who they say they are. You need either Garcia, Isbell, or Melendez. You need, I would say, two of those three guys to turn the corner if this year has a chance of being special. If you think the Royals can win 91 games this year, which I think is very possible, if the Royals can win their division this year, it's because two of these three guys figure it out. You probably don't get all three of them to figure it out, but if you can get a good version of Mikel Garcia and a good version of Kyle Isbell and they help round out your lineup, I think you feel very good about where you are if you're the Kansas City Royals. The Royals need the others. They need the surrounding parts. They need the backup singer, so to speak. They need them to break through and have a good year. And what really did the Royals in the final month of the season, once you eliminated one of your key bats and you just had two, where you had Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez, and that was basically it for the final month of the season, you just didn't have enough offense to consistently beat good teams and good pitchers. And it's really, really difficult to beat teams 2-1 every single night. And that's basically what the Royals were trying to do for the playoffs in the final month of the season. And their offense just completely fell apart. You need one of these other guys to break through. You need Melendez to figure things out as he's coming up on 2,000 ABs. You need Kyle Isbell to be a consistent run producer for you. You need Mikel Garcia to put together a career year. That would be really big for the Royals. Now, I don't think that this injury was this player's fault, but I think you have to put it on the list. It's about Vinny Pasquantino. Is he ready to take that next step? Bobby has taken the next step. Bobby was a good player that has now taken the step in being a great player. And I would even say past a great player. He is an elite player in baseball. Vinny is at the good. He is a very, very good player. And if it wasn't for the injury last season, he was in line to hit 20 home runs and have 100 RBIs. He played in 131 games. That was the most. He played in 72 games, then 61 games, and then he played in 131 games. Hey, can you give us 145, 140 games this upcoming season? Can you hit 25 home runs? Can you have 106 RBIs and maintain what you did at the plate? And taking that step forward and rounding out the top of your lineup gets you those extra 4 or 5 wins. We talked about that this week. There's two steps that you take as a team. It is going from where the Royals were to where they are now. They were a bad team. They have now taken a step to being a good team where there's reasonable expectations. People are excited about baseball in Kansas City. They won 86 games last year. They made the postseason. They won a series. Everybody feels good about the Royals at this time, and you should be. The Royals have a chance to win their division. The Royals have a chance to win 90 games this year. They have a chance to be a team that people are worried about at the end of the season. the hardest games to win are now the extra 4 to 6 that they really need to win. And that's what separates teams. In the NFL, we see it all the time. There is a difference between a 10-win team and a 12-win team. You feel good about a 10-win team. They're not winning the Super Bowl, though. You got to be a 12-13-win team. Can the Royals take that step and now being a team that can win 91 games this year? If they can do that, they put themselves in a position where they can beat just about anybody in the American League. And my last question here, Rob, is about Jonathan India. They need him to be as advertised. He was sold, and you gave up a pretty valuable piece in Singer. You traded him with the belief that he can be a guy that can get on base, and he is going to be on base and can help you produce runs. So when Bobby Witt gets up to base, he's got a runner on second. When Vinny is up, he can drive in runs. Jonathan India was sold as he's going to blossom into that leadoff hitter and guy that really sets the tone for the rest of the lineup. If he can do that this year, this Royals lineup has a chance of really filling out. And Bobby Witt can be a guy that drives in 130 runs this year if Jonathan India is the player as advertised. So as we are starting the Royals season, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Seth Lugo. Can he replicate what he did last year? You need Mikel Garcia, Kyle Isbell, MJ Melendez. You need them to step up. Can Vinny do it again and put together a comparable season to what he did last year? And Jonathan India, that was their move this offseason. Their move was bringing him in and with this intended purpose. He needs to come in and do the purpose that they traded for.
It'll be fascinating. And we've had both HUD and Joel Goldberg on the show today talking about the Royals. So check it out on the podcast page. And I found it very interesting in those four questions you have, the who will step up. The common theme you're hearing, at least today, from Joel and HUD is if MJ Melendez is not the guy to step up, because he was the guy that everyone pointed to as he's part of the Vinny Bobby class. Oh, they're all coming up together. He has not stepped up to that level. It sounds like there have been frustrations in the text line, the whole thing with Melendez. It feels like the Royals know. And if we get to June, July, and the trade deadline is looming and the Royals are contending, and he has not taken that step forward, the Royals are going to do something to correct that error, which there have been regimes in the past that's just like, hey, we're sticking it out, we're sticking it out, we're sticking it out. So the four questions are fair. You wonder about Vinny and his health. He's battling something coming into the season. You wonder about if the starters can do it again. I feel like they can, maybe not to that level, but they're still all good baseball players. The back of their baseball card is all 3-5, 3-6, 3-7, 3-8. And I think it's fair to ask, is India going to work out? I think back his baseball card will show you he was. But the who will step up, I think the Royals are aware of the if they don't step up, what next plan? As opposed to Royals teams in the past that just preached patience to a nauseating level. It feels like the Royals might be at wit's end with those guys. And let's see if one of them can battle back and become the guy they once anticipated they thought they would be.
Yeah, I think part of the frustration with Melendez is I think we've kind of spun it. And I understand that Bobby has put himself pretty consistently in his own class. Like the way we've always talked about Bobby is different. Kind of the same thing that's happened with Jack Caglione. But I think when you look at it, you have Bobby, Vinny, and MJ who are around the same age. And they've all developed in very different ways. Bobby has become exactly what they told us he was going to be. Kind of like what's happening with Caglione. You were told that Bobby Witt is going to be a star. And that is always how we've kind of held the expectation up. They turned out to be right. Like, he has been a star. He is the prospect that they sold us. Vinny is a guy that he's turned out to be a very, very good player. MJ, for being a second round pick, you're getting kind of close to that point. Like, hey, it's time to know if you've done something or not. He has 1,500 plate appearances and 1,400 ABs. So I'm not ready to call it yet on MJ Melendez. We are now entering his fourth season as a pro. All right, now entering year four, and we're getting closer and closer to that 2,000 ABs. And that's, I mean, you were on pace to do that. You had 451 last year. You had 602 back in 2003. It's not like you've been hurt and you've got an incomplete career. No, you've been playing every day pretty consistently for the last 3 years. And we are building up enough of a sample size to come to this conclusion or not. But I'm willing to give MJ one more year. Let's see how this year turns out for MJ. I do agree with you, and HUD said it earlier. I think MJ gets 45 days, maybe 60 days. And if we are having this same conversation with MJ around Memorial Day, I think the Royals could potentially be making a move. He does feel like the one where he is not on very solid footing. And if he's not driving runs and if he doesn't get out to a good start, it does feel like he is in line of getting his job taken away from him.
I think they might have a little longer leash than 60 days. But I'll tell you this. I think by the 4th of July, if we know that MJ Melendez is not producing, the Royals have a new left fielder. Like, not like a, oh, they're, you know, trying out India out there and maybe Massey's. I'm talking like they have made a move for a left field. I think the Royals of yesteryear preach patience. The Royals of now, they are more obsessed with winning and actually having tangible results on the baseball diamond than they are telling you, oh, we're trying to see. Which is a credit to John Sherman and a credit to J.J. Piccolo, because they're not selling us concepts anymore. They're trying to sell us on winning. And if it's, you know, firework times and MJ Melendez isn't good, it might be new left fielder time in Kansas City. And maybe he figures it out somewhere else, but I don't think he's going to have a long leash this year in Kansas City.
I want to play this audio for you guys in case you missed it. So John Sherman, owner of the Royals, met with the media earlier today. He doesn't talk very often, but when he does talk, it's pretty important. So we've cut the best of it. Some of it is about the stadium. Some of it is about the team as we get ready for the season. Here is John Sherman as he met with the media earlier today.
I would just say a couple things. First of all, I spent more time and surprise than I normally do, and I thought we had a great camp. You know, a little bit different in that I think, you know, very confident group, I would say. I think about it last year, I think we thought we'd added some tools to the team and that we had hopes for making the playoffs. I would say that this group expects to be in the postseason, which is a great thing. And tomorrow, you know, so we had a great camp tomorrow, opening day. And while I think about it as it's certainly about baseball, but it's about a lot more than baseball. It's about the best of Kansas City, in my view. It's Greater Kansas City Day. It's Kansas City Appreciation Day. And it's really a celebration of our team and base of this great game and our great community. And, you know, it's a lot of hoopla tomorrow, but to me, it's one of 162, and eventually we settle in. Baseball becomes the heartbeat of the summer, and if we're lucky, we'll be playing baseball in October. Certainly, has been a lot of interest in our stadium process over the last few weeks and days, and I'm really grateful for that there's that much interest and passion and care about not just what we do on the field, but this really important process of selecting a new home for the Royals. So I'm grateful for that. I would say that the speculation seems to have been heightened in the last few days. I would tell you a couple things about that. Whatever the source of that speculation, it didn't come from us. And when we have something to talk about, you know, we're going to be ready to talk about that. So with that, I'll open it up for questions.
John, I wonder, over the course of the offseason, JJ was pretty open about wanting to find a middle-of-the-order bat. Power. That obviously didn't work out. I wonder what your confidence level is in the offense you have right now and kind of how you saw those negotiations play out over the course of the offseason.
About particularly that quest for a bat, middle-of-the-order bat. Yeah, certainly that was one of the things that we felt would really improve our team, and I think it's been written about. We gave it the old college try here. We went after a couple of people, and I think we expanded the view of investment when we thought about that. But when we didn't get that, I think if you think about, we got a lot of, you know, one of the things JJ's been great about, he's brought some people in around him. Roster construction, I think, is really a strength of JJ's. How do you put together a team capable of, you know, getting to the postseason and then ultimately advancing in the postseason? If you think about our team, the back of the bullpen was really the best way that we could add, you know, short of a really, you know, a big bat in the middle of the order, it was really adding to the back of the bullpen. So he shifted gears, and that's when we signed Carlos Estevez. And, you know, if you think about our team, certainly the young core will improve. Jonathan India at the top of the order, I think that's going to be a difference maker. If any of you have been surprised, I think our fans are going to love the way this guy plays. He's a competitor. He's a gamer.
John, I realize this is pretty open-ended, but I wonder if you might be able to sum up in some way what you guys need to learn to be able to get more clarity and traction on where you're headed with the stadium process. What are the key variables that are in play that you're trying
well,
to
I just, you know, I would just say, first off, it's a complicated process, and they all are. You can look around the country. And then we have multiple opportunities on both sides of the state line, and it's just a process, I think. I feel really, really good about, I have empathy for people that feel like, you know, the process isn't clarified, but I feel really, really good about the process. I feel really, really good about the team that we've got on this, both internally and then the outside experts that we've hired. And I feel like we've got really a solid group of potential partners that are trying very hard to do something. And so this is a tough decision for us. But I don't think it's helpful to talk about things in this particular context before we're ready to kind of talk about something that's buttoned up.
And with that, I mean, I may have missed this, but I don't feel like I'm hearing you emphasize a timeline, maybe the way you had in the past. I mean, what would you say about that?
Well, I think we have a stated objective of being able to talk about a specific location. I'm calling it, you know, the middle of the calendar year in that June-July period.
Sam?
Yeah, a couple of follow-ups on that. You mentioned multiple opportunities on both sides of the state line. Is this Sprint Camp, is this Washington Square Park still among those opportunities that you...
You know, I won't comment on those. You know, and again, it's out of respect for the process and our partners. To be fair to all of them.
Is it at all a possibility? Do you envision any scenario in which you're playing baseball at Kauffman Stadium after the current season?
I don't think so. You know, we talked about that. That would be a low cost option. That would be that wouldn't be really solving the long term solution that we need to really sustain ourselves. In my view, you know, to make sure we have a world-class facility for a Major League Baseball franchise that wants to compete at the highest level for the next few decades.
The last one I had on that, but you had mentioned early on just this vision of downtown baseball and potentially revitalizing downtown. I recognize that was what you guys went to the voters with and that they turned it down, but do you still have that same vision? I mean, do you still have the same thoughts about what that could do for downtown Kansas City?
You know, I think that's certainly one of the things that might work. I think we need to make what is the best decision for the team and for the community. And there are variables out there, but I think, you know, more broadly, I would say in a whether it's urban or whether it's, you know, really high density where we have the opportunity to create, you know, vibrancy and economic activity around it, not just the 81 nights, but 365 days a year.
All right, a couple of things, and we'll get back to talking about the sports part of it. I don't know how many times the Royals need to say this for some of you. They are not staying at the Truman Sports Complex. The Royals have made it very clear they want an entertainment district. They are not getting one where they currently are. So let's go ahead and let's remove that part of it. The Royals are getting a new stadium at some point in the next 7 years. They will not be playing where they currently are. We were trying to figure out the where. Is it going to be in downtown Kansas City? Is it going to be north of the river? Is it going to be in Kansas? They will be playing in a new stadium. Now, I did think it was interesting. He did not sound committed to downtown baseball. Doesn't mean they're not going to be downtown. Before, he was pretty emphatic. We envision downtown baseball. He was asked very specifically about downtown. He didn't give an answer. So I don't know if that's something you should read into, not read into. I do think it was interesting. I will maintain that I think that the baseball stadium will stay on the Missouri side. if you believe the report that just came out, and maybe you missed it, I'll play it for you real quick. I know we're up against it, Rob. It sounds to me like the city of Kansas City is prepared to offer the Royals a whole lot of money to stay on the Missouri side, and they don't need to ask our opinion to do it. Here's the latest report.
Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Quentin Lucas threw a curveball Tuesday. He said the city's offered the Royals more than $1 billion for a new stadium project. The deal won't raise taxes, and the stadium could go downtown or remain at Kauffman.
This chat has gone on for a really long time. I think the people of Kansas City, and indeed the entire region, are ready for it to be done. We think that we've put forward a robust offer that allows the Royals either to go downtown or even to stay at Kauffman Stadium.
The Royals say they're exploring all options.
I think the Royals are going to take that offer at some point. I think the Royals will be in Missouri. I've always thought the Chiefs are a wild card in this conversation. I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do. I believe that the Royals are going to stay on the Missouri side. So we'll see how things obviously play out. I want this to at least be the last day of us having this conversation for a while. They start playing real baseball games tomorrow, and let's focus on the team. They will tell us the plan when we get there. But this week, there's been a lot of rumors. There's been a lot of information, misinformation, however you want to put it. I don't think they are close to any decision. Missouri, Kansas, I don't think they are there yet. I don't think we will be there for a while when it comes to the teams. And I think it was interesting that the owner of the team has always been steadfast on, I want to be downtown. He was asked specifically about downtown, and he sounds like he's keeping the option open. It sounds like the Royals are doing their due diligence and trying to figure out where the best place for their new stadium will be. And they are telling you at some point, very, very soon, you are not going to be going to the Truman Sports Complex anymore, at least not for baseball. You will be going somewhere else. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive. With Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I know this is something that you guys are really worried about, and that's why we're here to present the news. Rob, do you know during NFL games when players do the nose wipe celebration, that is now going to be a 15-yard penalty because it is a violent gesture, they are saying. I saw some examples. This is something that CeeDee Lamb does. He kind of like wipes his nose and uses it to point to a first down. That will now be deemed in the same vein of a throat slash. And now that's an automatic 15-yard penalty if you do that gesture during the games. So I know that some of you have young kids and you can't let them see that kind of content. I mean, when they're watching the game, especially in October, you might get a scary movie commercial. You might get a beer commercial. They're going to show you at least four or five gambling ads. But you know what really is the detriment of young people? When NFL players are wiping their nose to signal a first down, that's when you know that we've crossed the line to a place where football has just gotten... We got to penalize this. We got to rid this from the game, Rob. That is now a 15-yard penalty.
Who's asking for this?
I'm here to report the news. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to report the news. That's what we do on this show. The news.
Okay, I guess. Thank goodness we took care of that. We still over-officiate games.
We solved it.
And we still have bad replays, but, you know, I guess we solved the nose wipe issue. By the way, speaking of celebrations, see that college baseball player who did a straight-up cocaine celebration?
I did not see that. No, I did not see that. I actually wanted to see that. Why didn't you show that to me? You're telling me that you saw this existed on the internet, and at no point you were like, hey, let me show you this, because that's something I wanted to see. What team does he play for?
He's a Michigan baseball player. I'm sure if you type in Michigan baseball, it'll pop up.
What did he... you know what? Let's not. I'll just look it up. I'll look it up later. How about that? Why don't we put a pin in this and then we'll come back? Let's talk about the Royals here. Let's get back on track. I think the Royals have three clear objectives for this season. Number one, win 85 games or more. If you win 85 games, you should make the playoffs. That is not guaranteed you will make the playoffs. You can win 10 games in the NFL and miss the postseason. But generally, if you win 9 or 10 games, you will make the postseason. That number in baseball is 85. They won 86 games last year. Guess what? They made the postseason. Now, they were not the home team in the wild card round, but they made the playoffs. That was good. So win 85 games. You guys might be thinking, oh, Carrington, that's easy. No, if you've been cheering for the Royals, in fact, they don't have a lot of seasons in which they have won 85 games or more. They did so last year. They went 86 and 76. They did so in 15, 14, and 13. So the golden years. I mean, we know how good we had it. And then if you go back past then, so if you go back before 2013, the last time that the Royals won more than 85 games in a season was 1989. They don't win 85 games or more. You got to give yourself a shot. I love the 2003 Royals. They didn't win 85 games. Give yourself a chance. Win 85 games. Build on what you did last season. So that is goal number one for the Royals. Goal number two, win your division. I'm going to tell you guys this. For those of you that gamble on these things, did you know that the Cleveland Guardians are the most popular bet right now in baseball to miss the playoffs? The public, they don't think the Guardians are going back. That means they think there will be a new champion in the American League Central. Who could that be? Could it be the Royals? Could it be the Tigers? Could it be the Twins? We don't know. But the public is telling you they don't think it's going to be the Guardians. Well, then the chair is open. Why don't you go sit in it? Did you know the Royals have only won their division one time? Yes, 2015, the current division that they're in. They used to be in the American League West. Back under the old baseball structure, they were in the American League West. They won it one time, 2015. They have a chance to win it this season. That's goal number two. And then goal number three is simple. Win a playoff series. You did that last year. Build on what you did last season. This is like a team in college sports. Last year, you won 8 games and a bowl game. Hey, this season, can you guys win 10 games, compete for the SEC championship, and potentially make the college football playoff? You're a team that you were a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament and you won a game. Great. Can you now be a 4 seed or a 3 seed, and can you make a deep run into the NCAA tournament? That's where the Royals are. You had a great season last year. 86 games. You came out of nowhere. Bobby Witt Jr. is becoming a household name. He's ranked 97 on the video game. Vinny's back healthy. There's a lot of hope and optimism about the Royals. It should be. Tomorrow's going to be sold out. It's going to be, what, 75, 80 degrees tomorrow? Beautiful day outside. Great way to start the season. If you are a Royals fan, you should be happy. The Royals did everything they planned on doing this offseason. They have improved their roster. They've maintained their core. And now all the players that they told us about when they were losing 110 games are now 25, 26, and 27. It's time to run now. This is what you've been building towards. This is what you've been building towards. Vinny Pasquantino is 27 years old. MJ Melendez is 26 years old. Bobby Witt Jr. has turned into a star. You traded for Jonathan India. Now's the time to seize the day and seize the opportunity of what you have. So I'm excited for this season. Win 85 games. The Royals haven't done that a lot. I know you're thinking, that's not a lot. Yeah, that's 4 games over 500. They haven't done that. Or I guess, yeah, that's 4 games. They haven't done it a whole lot in our lifetime. Can you win at least 85 games? That gives you a chance to make the postseason. Can you win your division? They've done it once in our life. And win a playoff series. That's it. I'm not interested in anything else. And if they do 2 of those 3 things, it'll be another fun baseball season. And they will keep our attention, and we'll go out there, and we'll watch them, and we'll support them, and Vinny will become a household name. And that's all we're asking for this upcoming season. Coming up, Rob, let's talk a little bit of football before we sign off for the day. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's MJ Melendez from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with C-Dot on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Let me tell you that coming up on Friday, we got the Royals Roundtable inside the sports book at Hollywood. Are we doing the show from there on Friday? Oh, good. I'm happy. I'm thrilled about that.
I feel like you would have heard about that before today.
Yeah, well, I didn't know about Monday until it was Monday. I didn't know. Hey, let me start over. I'm going to do the rewrite this time. Hey, let me tell you guys that 96.5 The Fan is doing a Royals Roundtable on Friday, March 28th, inside the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino. I actually really like the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino. Josh Vernier is going to be there. Michael Massey will be there. Kyle Isbell will be there. And they're going to do a Q&A that starts at 6 o'clock, followed by a meet and greet with the players around 6:45. It is open to the public, and it is, what I'm guessing your favorite part is, it's free. Yes, it does not cost any money. It is free. So show up, meet Michael Massey, meet Kyle Isbell, meet me, meet Rob, meet Bob Fesco, Dusty. All of us will be there, including Michael Massey and Kyle Isbell. Who do you think people are going to want to take a picture with more, me or Michael Massey?
I'm going to say Michael Massey. Who do you think people are going to want to talk to more? Bob Fesco about the stadium or you about anything else?
Bob might want to stay at home. And I love Bob. Bob might have to be sick on Friday, man. He might have to just call it a day. You know, hey, you know what? Hey, I had a long week. Hey, you know, hey, Bob, I'll hold it down for you. I'll hold it down. I don't got no problem holding it down.
Bob's going to have the it's 10:02 flu.
Yeah, you know, I got... You know what? If ever you need to get out of something, say you got food poisoning, man. Nobody ever questions food poisoning. Oh, man, my stomach, it's rumbling a little bit. Hey, I think I'm going to have to. Hey, I get it. No problem. Yeah, I would, you know what? Maybe just sit this one out and just chill, and I'll hold it down for you. Me and Alex and Cody will hold it down. Are you going to be there? It says all of us will be there, so I imagine that means you'll be there too.
I'm one of the us, yes.
Not bad. You do work here, so.
Mm-hmm.
That means 96.5, the fan staff will be there.
I know that I'm going to be dead last in photos, so that's pretty exciting.
No, people will ask you to hold the camera for me. People ask you to
that
do
does,
that.
That does happen.
Hey, you Rob? Yeah, Rob.
They don't even shake my hand. They're like, oh, nice to meet you.
And I always try to make sure you get in the picture, too. I try to do that. I'll never play you like that.
No, it's never you. It's always...
We a team here. We a two-man team here. I don't do you like that.
I always laugh. They're like, oh, man, I love you on their show, too. And they reach their hand out, and I'm like, I'm going to get a handshake. And they hand me their phone. And like, whenever you can, man, just snap that photo.
All the time. It is funny. It does make me laugh whenever it happens. Hey, Rob, can you take this picture? Okay, what you want to do? I'm here. I'm here for you guys. All right, before we get out of here, let's talk some sports things. Adam Schefter, he says that the Titans, they are open. Whatever that means.
I've also heard the Titans general manager, Mike Borgonzi, say that he's open to anything. And so he's going to be listening to phone calls. It doesn't mean that the Giants will be able to make it up to one. But I expect the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants both to make calls, and let's see if there's a team that can come up with an offer that the Titans can't pass up. Yes, the Titans absolutely do like Cam Ward. Yes, they're ready to take him. But these teams have 1 month to try to change Tennessee's mind and make an offer compelling enough to move Tennessee, which has a ton of holes on its roster, off the number one pick.
Come on now. I mean, we don't have to do this. You're not trading the number one overall pick. You are selecting Cam Ward. You're just trying to get that last little, I mean, we'll take him, but we need 3 first round picks. Come on now. You're not fooling the rest of us. Take your quarterback, move on from Will Levis, and let's move on. That's it. Simple enough. Rob, who's the coach of the Titans?
The old OC for the Bengals, Callahan. Brian Callahan? Yeah, Brian Callahan.
Mm. Okay, I didn't know that. You could have told me any name and I would have believed you.
It's Bill Callahan's son. Former Nebraska great.
Good old nepotism. Always hard at work in the National Football League. Is he trying to save a small brake shop in rural Ohio? Because that's when I hear that name, that's what I think he's trying to do. When's the last time you watched Tommy Boy? What a film.
It's been a while. I like Tommy Boy light years more than Black Sheep.
Yeah,
but they're basically the same movie.
Yeah, I agree. Whatever happened to the woman in Tommy Boy?
I don't know.
She was a cutie. They want me to think that that woman was interested in Chris Farley's character in real life.
That's, I mean, to be fair, was it Bo Derek was interested in Chris Farley's dad?
I mean, that actually makes sense to me. He was the one making the coin. It makes sense to me and Tommy Callahan, he was like, or Bill, whatever his name was in the movie, he was like friendly and funny. Yeah, I think that the head of the company could pill that woman. I don't think that Chris Farley had the game to pull the girl that he pulled in the movie. I don't think he had the game to do so, but I mean, maybe he did. I don't know. Chris Farley's funny. If you're funny, you can get a long way with the ladies. All right, we're out of here. I don't work tomorrow, so not because I'm sick or anything, but there's nothing for me to do tomorrow because I will be at opening day. So if you see me, say hello. I look forward to meeting you. If not, I'll just catch you guys on Friday. I'll take care of you guys. Take care of yourself. It's a drive.